Now let us attend to the word of the Lord as provided by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. This is a familiar passage, and so I've chosen to share it through the message, the interpretation of Reverend Peterson. The Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 7. Now, God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging and that we'd done the whole thing. Nope. We neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. This is the word of God for the people of God.
There's a teacher, his name is Ben Zander, who works with anxious, perfectionist music students at the New England Conservatory. These students believe the stakes are extremely high as they seek careers as professional musicians. Tired of his students' chronic state of anxiety and unwillingness to take risks, Ben came up with an experiment. At the beginning of a school year, he told his music performance course, "Each student in this class will get an A this course. There is one requirement. Within the next 2 weeks, write me a letter, dated next May, that begins with these words, 'Dear Mr. Zander, I got my A because... dot, dot, dot.' And in this letter, tell with as much detail as you can the story of what will have happened to you by next May that is in line with this extraordinary grade." All before the first assignment, or this really is the first assignment, they already have an A if they can just imagine the course has ended and that they have already earned that A. He asked his students to put themselves into the future as the student, as the musician, as the person they long to be, and look back on the school year to figure out how they got there. Don't use phrases like, "I hope" or "I intend," he told them. Just fall in love with the person you will be in May and declare how you became that person. The experiment was an absolute success. One student wrote to Ben as her future self, "I got my A because I had the courage to examine my fears and I realized they have no place in my life. I changed from someone who was scared to make a mistake in class in case she was noticed to someone who knows she has a contribution to make to other people, musically and personally. I have changed from desiring inconsequentiality and anonymity to accepting the joy that comes from knowing that my music changes the world." She wrote all that before she had done the work, but the freedom of being given an A was all she needed to see the change that she longed for and then to live into that change. The experiment was a success for the students, and it was also a success for Ben. A class full of A students, that's a teacher's dream. Giving an A from the very beginning brought out the best in the students, and that class became a time of respite, risk, and reward. A class full of A students encouraged one another. Without the competition of a traditional grading system, the students came to trust one another and to contribute to each other's growth. Getting an A from the start is like grace. What fears could we release if we had the gift of already knowing we have gotten an A? Of knowing that the one who walks alongside us through this life has given us an A, has created us and called us good, has delighted in the fullness of who we are and of who we are becoming. Helen Schulman wrote, "If you knew who walks beside you on the way that you have chosen, fear would be impossible." Maybe the one walking beside you is God. Maybe you call on the name Jesus. Maybe it's the spirit of an ancestor or a guardian angel who journeys with you. Maybe the one who walks beside you is a living person, someone who loves you unconditionally and teaches you about God's grace. It's all God. We just have different ways of finding, feeling, and naming God's presence at our side. If you know who walks beside you on the way you have chosen, fear would be impossible. Paul understood that one to be God revealed in Jesus. He wrote, "It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and even that is not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. Nor is it a reward for anything that you have done, so nobody can claim the credit. We are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do the good things God created us to do from the beginning. It is getting an A at the beginning of the class, not as a reward for something that we have done, but because we are divinely created works of art. Our very nature, our very being, get an A." And the gift of grace, of getting an A, it's a paradox. Just like the students in Ben's class, when we know we have an A, we have the confidence and the creativity to beam our A self out into the world. As Ben's students imagined and put to paper the details of their own beaming as musicians and students and people, they invited their own glory into the world. Who or what has been that Ben in your life? Who has given you permission to see yourself as excellent? Who urges you to believe in your worth? For many people, God is that giver of grace, the unconditional lover. But the irony is that so many of us have also turned God into the ultimate judge, the ruthless punisher, the one to fear. We gather here to resist dangerous and damaging theology. We gather here to cultivate the witness and the wisdom of liberation and healing. As we seek to love ourselves and each other as best we can, we celebrate a loving God who delights in our beings, who lavishes us with A's, who graces us because we are worthy, not because we earned it. We are wholly beloved without lifting a finger, uttering a word, or making a choice. This love and this grace, as we read in Ephesians, is not a reward for anything. Nobody can claim the credit. We are already God's work of art. But the story doesn't end there. Just like Ben's students joyfully actually do the excellent A-level work in their musical performance class, we also respond to God's grace by becoming the best of ourselves. We can get grace even when we're not at our best, but our natural response is to be what we are expected to be, to meet our expectations, to meet the expectations that other people have of us. This is what Robert Rosenthal's research in education teaches us. He gave elementary school students an IQ test and then randomly selected a few from each class, not based on their scores, just randomly selected them, and told their teachers that these students were on the verge of being gifted, that he expected their IQs would jump ahead in the coming school year. And at the end of the year, they had. Students who had randomly been labeled on the verge of gifted had higher IQ increases by the end of the year than their peers did. It wasn't a coincidence. He has done this experiment many times and found the same result. Imagine just what it is that happens in these classrooms because of Rosenthal's predictions. There are so many subtle ways that teachers can change their students' behavior. Say Harry is one of these randomly selected, about to be gifted students, and his teacher asks him a question about the homework, and he's having trouble coming up with an answer. The week before, the teacher might have just moved on and asked somebody else, but now she knows that Harry is on the verge of being gifted. So she smiles, she waits a moment longer because she trusts that Harry can do this, and then he does. So Harry experiences success instead of failure and comes also to believe he is gifted. Seems like a real bummer for the kids who didn't get randomly selected. Thank God it does not work that way with grace, because we are all selected by God equally and fully. We receive God's grace without doing a thing. And the beauty of that is that since we are inclined to meet people's expectations, whether they are lofty or low, God's great expectations for us mean that we become the best of who we are when we trust grace. It is because God loves us unconditionally that we can never fail in God's eyes, that God is always ready for us to be the best of who we can be and loves us through every hard step along the way. We have unlimited chances to grow into our best selves. It might sound easy, but not if we really believe it. Because when you've won an award for something you didn't do, or somebody gave you credit and you know it's not yours, it does not feel good. There is no satisfaction in that. So when we really believe God's grace, we will rise to the occasion. So let's just practice for a moment. I won't ask you to write a letter to yourself in May, but you can do it at home if you want. But just for a moment in silence, consider, who are you at your best? Who are you in the beaming love of God's grace?